boom, bam! I'm your host, Mark Hayford, coming at you like an avalanche in the freaking Himalaya Mountains, baby. Welcome to the greatest hour of radio that you're ever going to get your entire life, right here on 1520 WCHE. Ladies and gentlemen, greatest day of your life, Thursday, April 16th, 2020, baby. And yo, when you're talking shows with an hour packed of inspiration, motivation, perspective, lighten up the darkness, that's what we do here every mother loving Thursday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yo, it's a weird time. We get down, we have to get back up. And that's why we have the Get Up Power Hour. Now, look, welcome to the program. You're part of the Get Up Army. I salute you. If you're brand new, jump in. We got some great stuff for you today. I'm going to do something that I've never done before, and I have two guests calling in. It's going to be a double local author event right here coming through your very Alexa app, your cell phone, your radio, your computer, however you're checking us out right now. Now, look, I'm your host, Mark Hayford, Mark with a C, and if you're out on social media, so am I. I want to connect with you. So hit me up on your Facebook, your Instagram, your Snapchat, YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, TikTok, what? Yo, my website is markhayfordmarkwithac.com, and either there or on Amazon, you can pick up both of my number one books, Get Up, Encouraging You to Attack Life, or 365 Days of Encouraging You to Attack Life. If you're into Audible books, you can go out to Audible, and you could hear, as narrated by the author, that's an experience in itself, the Get Up, Encouraging You to Attack Life. Now, check this out. Let's say you're like, it's 2 o'clock, and the end of the show is looming, and you're like, no, don't go. I got you. I got you. If you listen to podcasts every single day, man, we got the Get Up podcast. The thought of the day, it's very organic. Yo, we do not live in a filter there. That is rawer than raw. That's like meat right off the rack in the supermarket when they restock it, right? The Get Up podcast is out there on SoundCloud, and it follows my second book, 365, Thought of the Day. It's to kick you in the rear end, man. It's to get you to chase your goals, to realize that you should have some goals, or just even get your feet on the ground. That's what we do. Now, this is new, too. If we already are out there, guys, if we're out there on your Facebook and on your Instagram, I want you to know that every night at 7 o'clock, as long as we have these lockdowns and all this other stuff, the quarantine's going on, I'm doing a double live. And this is interactive. We do a nightly poll. I want you to be a part of it. And this Saturday night, we're doing a Saturday night party. You got to come to my party. So that's on Facebook Live and Instagram Live. Wow. And I got to tell you, I'm sweating. I'm literally sweating. Bree, who is, she works the board. She's holding up WCHE as best as she can. She texts me and she said, yo, I'm going to get you patched in a moment, in a few minutes. And I said, it's cool. I got to take a shower. She's like, dude, it's radio. What are you showering for? I had to shower because I'm so disgustingly covered in sweat. Why am I sweating? I'm sweating because we're cleaning our house for a virtual party. Welcome to 2020, a virtual party. I'm DJing two private events. I love it. My wife's a national vice president with Arbonne International. It's like health and wellness, you know, it's network marketing, and she has her own team, and we have a team, and we should be in Las Vegas right now at the MGM, but that's not happening. So she's looking to light it up. So I'm moving DJ stuff and tables and yelling at my kids, and it's a hot mess here in the Hayford house. How you doing? All right. So, yo, let's get into this program. Let's talk about the Get Up Power Hour and what we're bringing you today. First of all, friends, you know how I roll. I roll like this. I make sure that when I'm giving someone the power of the microphone, that they're serving something up, that they're leaving you with some content, something that can give you dreams, hopes, goals, aspirations, help you through something. And I got two guys that are not just amazing individuals, but they have new bodies of work that I'm looking to showcase here. So both are authors. And the first author, his name's Jason Reed. Now I'm going to bring Jason on in just a second. Jason is a realtor by his profession. He's a musician for I don't know if it's his pleasure or his hobby or if he's trying to make that a profession. We're going to have to find out. And he's a brand new author. So what did he write about? Well, he wrote a book called Letters Home, Notes on Returning to Paris Island. So what we need to know about this is Jason Reed is also a veteran of the U.S. Armed Forces, specifically the Marine Corps. And this book is very interesting because Jason's now the father of a Marine who just went in. And I served as well, not in the Marines. So this book hit home with me. It was very in the same time frame, and a lot of the things that he spoke about, even though we were in different branches, it still had the same powerful message. I want to bring him on the line here, and I want to ask him some questions and get to talk about his book. So, ladies and gentlemen, from the comfort of your home, please put your virtual hands together for brand new author and veteran of the Marine Corps, Jason Reed.
Hey, what's happening, Mark? How are you doing?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm well.
Hey, first off, let's just right off the bat, thank you for serving. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for
likewise. Thank you.
Yeah, man. You know, it's what we had to do when we had to do it, and thank you for raising someone that's serving. This is intense, man. I'm holding your book right now, and I got to tell you, the first thing, thank you for sending me a copy of it. First of all. And the second thing that I want to address is the fact that I loved it so much because it's a quick read. And I feel like that needs to be a part of the way we're living in society today. You know, I mean, we're forced in a time to shut down and slow down now. And I don't know if people can put the animal back in the box. You know, we're so fast paced. This book's about 100 pages, but it's so powerful. First of all, what inspired you to write Letters Home?
Well, if you notice, about half of the book was written about my personal experience on the ground at Parris Island in the Marine Corps. And those parts of the book were written about 10, 15 years ago. So I had that kind of just laying around. And then last summer, when my son left for Marine Corps boot camp, I got those old notes out, those old stories out, started reading them. And then I also started writing these long social media updates to update my family and friends and let them know, hey, this is what my son, his name is Nathan. This is what son's Nathan, and this is what my son Nathan's going through now. He's in week one or week three or week five, and just updating. So I took all those notes at the end of his time there at Parris Island, expanded on them, and then put them into the book. And I just kind of traverse my 13 weeks back in 1991, and then I also traverse his kind of experience, or more appropriately, my experience of having a son going through that process and knowing kind of exactly what he's in for. So it was pretty cool seeing him go through that process. It really was.
I can't imagine the cornucopia of emotions that would bring out because, wow. And that's what's interesting too, how you are kind of jumping back and forth. You're going through his eyes from what he's explaining. You're going through your eyes. And I thought what was so cool is that you have that fatherly wisdom that you could be like, okay, dude, this is what you're in for. You know, like this is what you need to expect. So you went in the service in 91. How long did you serve?
I served two separate times, actually. I went in 91 and served for 4 years in active duty. Got out in 95. Eventually got married, started a career, got into life as a civilian. And then 6 years later, we got attacked on 9/11. So I called on 9/12. I called a prior service recruiter and reenlisted. And
you went
back in
to the military on September 12th, 2001.
Yeah. Well, I started the process. It took me a couple months to actually get in officially. But, yeah, they took me back. I was a bit older. I was close to 30 when I went back in. So I went back in and spent 2 years with the reserve unit up in Willow Grove with the Marines for two more years.
What was,
so
what
6 years altogether.
The second time around for you, was there a different feel, vibe, experience? What was that like?
I'll tell you what, while I was going through the process, I kept thinking, man, how am I going to do this? I've been out for 6 years. How am I going to remember, you know, how to be a Marine? And it was amazing. When I put that uniform on and showed up for my first drill weekend at Willow Grove, it was like not a day passed. It's amazing how it comes back to you. It comes right back.
I literally have goosebumps on my arm that you said when I put that uniform back on. That has to be a moment, dude. Wow. You know, talk about the pride of being a Marine. I mean, we have such a dip. My father was a Vietnam vet, you know, and what a different time and world and how we viewed veterans and treated veterans at that time, right? But I feel like now there's a nod of pride, and there's also a nod of a, you know, even the people that don't say it, you can just kind of get that vibe from them that there's a thank you if you're a veteran.
Yeah, but absolutely. I've been thanked profusely for years.
And being a Marine, what's that like? Because I have friends that are former Marines, and I just feel like that's a bond. That's what is it? 244 years? Is that how many?
240 years. Yeah, 244 years. About that. It is. It's a brotherhood, and it's hard to explain. And I tried to explain that to Nathan, and now, you know, he's been in since June, so he's coming up on a year. In June, he'll be in a year. He totally gets it now, and it's neat because I went out to visit him. He's in Hawaii now, but he was in 29 Palms, California. And that's a base I spent some time in during both my enlistments.
Wait, so I got to
go back there.
Mm-hmm. Jason, you said he was in California. Now he's on his quarantine. He's in Hawaii.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Why does your son have a better life in the military than I do as a civilian?
Dude, he's sending me pictures from the beach. Hey, here's me today.
Thank you for serving, Nathan. Thank you. All right.
That's brutal.
Jason, hold on a second. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick, really quick break, come back, because I have a boatload of questions to ask you, just more specifically about the book, because there's a couple things that I read that some of them made me laugh, some of them really pulled emotion out. So just
sounds
if you
good.
Can hang tight with us for a few minutes longer. Guys, I got local author Jason Reed, the creator of Letters Home, right here on the Get Up Power Hour. Do not go anywhere. We will be back in 60 seconds. All right, all right, all right. We are back here. All right, I think we're back. It's doing radio remote is so hard, guys. It's definitely it's a whole nother animal. So we're holding it together with a little bit of duct tape, a little bit of magic, but you're listening to the Get Up Power Hour right here on 1520 WCHE. I got brand-new author Jason Reed on the horn with us. This guy is a two-time veteran of the Marine Corps and now the father of a Marine. And his book, Letters Home, focuses all on his journey and watching his son go through his. Yo, Jason, so a couple things here. First of all, I love audiobooks because I can do other things while I'm, you know, on the move, whatever. But I also love having a book in my hand, physical paperback or whatever, because I always love underlining things, taking notes, putting asterisks by things that stick out to me. And on page 15, it's great. It says, June 1991, a warm greeting at the gates of hell. And the part that made me laugh, because, I mean, different boot camps, of course, but I want, if you could explain to everybody, let me see, blah, 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 put me in the living room of my parents' home around 4 a.m. when Sergeant Cole, one of the greatest liars humanity has ever known, came to pick me up. Why do you say Sergeant Cole was the greatest liar humanity has ever known?
You know I can't say that, Mark. Come on. If I could say that, I would have said it in the book. No, I will say, well, first of all, there is no Sergeant Cole. I changed a lot of names in this book.
I bet.
But recruiters are just known for telling, you know, as much of the story as they need to or can or want to get these young guys to go in the military. And one thing I can tell you, and I can't blame Sergeant Cole if that is, in fact, his real name. I can't truly blame him. I had no idea until I got halfway through boot camp that there was a such thing as reserve duty where you can go one weekend a month. I had no idea. I thought, and I remember we were in the rack one night and, you know, you talk to your bunkmates, the guys in the, you know, four racks that are kind of clustered around your part of the squad bay. And we were talking one night and everybody was saying, where are you going next? Where are you going next? And this one's going to North Carolina. That one's going to California. And this one kid says, well, oh, I'm going home. I'm going to college. And we're all bewildered. We're like, what? What are you talking about? You're going to home. You're in the Marine Corps. He goes, no, I'm in the reserves. None of us knew anything about the reserves. We were like, what do you mean reserves? What's that mean? My drill instructor, I mean, my recruiter didn't tell me I could go reserve duty.
At that point, so, that's when you wanted to punch Lieutenant Dan or Sergeant Cole. Whatever
exactly. Oh, yeah. So, all of course, right. I told Nathan, I told my son all about the reserve option, but he wasn't having it. He was like me. The reality is we laughed about it, but I wouldn't have gone reserves anyway. I mean, he was a lot like me at 17, 18. He just wanted to get out and see what the world felt like. He was done sitting in a classroom and reading and studying about other people's lives. He was ready to get out there and taste the world a little bit. So when I brought up the reserve option to him, he said, nah, I'm not interested.
Wow, wow. So you weren't Sergeant Cole. You gave him the full enchilada,
right.
And he still decided to go through this. Wow. It's interesting because, I mean, the military, you talk to anyone that served, and it's really shaped and changed their lives and have played a huge part into who the men and women that we are today. One part that I noticed, and I love your bravery in the book, a lot of the things that you just kind of, you just call it like you see it, and I definitely felt like this, especially coming out of the boot camp time and the training time. You say every untucked and unshaved, quote-unquote, nasty civilian makes your skin crawl, and that's really true, right? When you first, you're in there 6, 8, 10 weeks, whatever it is, of now you're making beds and shining shoes and you know, the physical training, the mental endurance that you got to go through, and then you go into a, you come home, and I don't know, you go to like a Target, and you see somebody with facial hair. They're like, ew.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you just want, because they brainwashed. I mean, you're brainwashed, and you're completely reconditioned as a human being. And, it, you know, it's like anything else, it's a perishable, you know, phenomenon. It wears off after a while, but you maintain some of that to a reasonable amount. But, yeah, initially, after leaving boot camp, you feel like you see somebody else your age, you know, in a mall or something when you're on leave. And yeah, it does make your skin crawl and you say, man, what's wrong with this guy?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand it. I don't know if I could be articulate like as you were with that, but I definitely understand the feel of that because I experienced it. It's weird. Okay. So as we go through the book here, explain why letters are so important to someone who's going through boot camp. Because even in this day and age where we have, you know, these little supercomputers that we're running this show on right now and our cell phone, you can't use them. I mean, back in our day, you know, your lifeline is a handwritten letter. Explain the importance of that.
Yeah, that's it. When you go to, that's one thing that the Marine Corps boot camp, the whole process is very steeped in tradition. And that's one thing they're relentless about maintaining their traditions, and the only way you can connect with home is by writing a letter. So, you know, it took this kid, my son Nathan, to the point, you know, a kid who'd never wrote a letter in his life, to where we have a stack of letters, you know, that we got from him just in that 13 weeks. Because
wow.
That's the only way you can connect with your parents or anybody back home. So there was a lot of letters being you know, sent from him to us and back and forth.
I mean, that's generational. Those letters will outlast all of us. That's amazing.
For sure.
That's a treasure for your family. Incredible.
Oh, it's great.
So,
yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Talk about this. Back to you really quick. If you could, going through the whole thing, right, top to bottom, being a grown man now who raised a Marine, if you could go back and talk to your drill instructor, and for anyone who's never served, your drill instructor is the person you hate the most and quite possibly love the most in a father figure role in this weird dichotomy of emotion. So if you could kind of break it down and bring it back to the people who have served and for the people who have never experienced this before, what's the drill instructor like? And if you could talk to him today, what would you say to him?
The drill instructor in the Marine Corps, these guys are at level 10 100% of the time. And they do everything. I have a lot of respect for them because they do everything we do. And a lot of the activity that really just gets written off as senseless hazing ends up having a purpose. And you don't understand that when you're there for the most part, but you can see it pretty clearly when you get out and when you see the result that going through this process has on you as a person. And my drill instructor, it's funny, I connected with him on because of, you know, the modern age, social media, years after my boot camp experience, I connected with my drill instructor online on Together We Serve, which is, I don't know if you're a part of that, Mark, but it's like an early kind of social media, Facebook kind of thing for military. I connected with him first on there, and then a couple years later on Facebook. And I got a Facebook message out of the blue about 6 years ago. I'd never spoken to him. I just connected with him on there. Got a Facebook message about 5 or 6 years ago that said, "Hey, Reed, are you up?" Now, this was on the Marine Corps birthday, right before Veterans Day. And it was from him, from my drill instructor. Now, this guy I haven't talked to since I left Parris Island. And I said, "Yeah, I'm up. Why?" He goes, "Hey, can you call in to this number? I'm doing a radio interview, and they want to talk to one of my recruits." So I hesitated, but I was like, "All right, what have I got to lose?" So I called up, and we ended up having a great conversation, good half hour, 40-minute conversation on the air on this radio program, just talking about the whole Parris Island experience. And to answer your question, I mean, the one thing I said was that I had to get out was thank you, because that process, I mean, it's still paying benefits and dividends, you know, now in my life, all these years later. I'm 47 now. I was 18 when I went through. Mm. But that going through that process of becoming a Marine changed me forever.
That's incredible. That's incredible that you even got to reconnect with him on a human level outside of that environment.
Oh, yeah.
That's a rarity that most veterans don't really have the experience of going through. So in the world of social media, here we go. Well,
and when I finished this book, I signed a copy and sent it to him too. He enjoyed it.
And I sent it back or did?
Well, I contacted him first. I said, "Hey," his name is David Angle. I said, "David, I am writing this book, and I said, I'm changing all the names. I said, do you want me to change your name?" He goes, "Absolutely not."
Wow.
He said, "No, the stat," and he made a joke. He said, "The statute of limitations on anything I did at Parris Island is worn out years ago." So he said, "You go ahead and use my name. I'm fine." So, so when you see Sergeant Angle in that book, that's who that is. That's a real person. That's a real name. I didn't change that one.
Was that the one scene, like in a movie, or the one scenario where they do the trick with, I don't know if it's chocolate or the peanut butter with the toilet?
Yeah.
Wow. I think I fear that man. This is great. All right. Here's the magic question I want to give you here. Would you serve again?
Absolutely. I would. In fact, I've made the call several times. Since passing the age threshold, every once in a while you get the bug. And, in fact, I even reached out a week, probably 5 days to a week into this quarantine. I heard something about, I forget whether it was on TV or what, something about the National Guard. So I reached out to the National Guard, and I said, "Hey, this is who I am. This is how old I am. Here's my experience." And they said, "Let me get back to you." And they said, they got back to me the next day. And they said, "Now you're too old." But I would have considered that. I would have considered anything. I mean, if I could be a part of the solution, I mean, that's one thing I definitely got from the Marine Corps. If I can sit in my house and wait for, you know, everything to open back up, or I can go be a part of somebody that's doing some good in the world, I'd rather do that. So I did reach out to the National Guard, and depending on what, you know, it was that they were willing to put me to work on, I would do that. Absolutely. And I would certainly serve in the Marine Corps, but I'm well over the age of being able to serve in the Marine Corps.
Well, but once a Marine, always a Marine. That's why you never say it's an ex-Marine, it's a former Marine. So this is incredible. Well, let me ask you this, Jason. What do you want Nathan, your son, when this is all said and done for him, what do you want him to get out of this experience?
Well, what I went through that whole process before he left for boot camp. I wanted to write him a letter just while he was still here, a few weeks before he left, and I wanted to share with him some wisdom that he could take with him that might benefit him through the process. So I sat down to write this letter, and it was tough because I'm thinking, how do I distill 47 years of experience and knowledge and wisdom into a one-page letter in a way that he's going to remember it, in a way that when he's, you know, 8 weeks into his 13 weeks, that he'll remember this little nugget or maybe a couple of these little pearls of wisdom. And the word that came to my mind was purpose. So I wrote this letter, and at the end I said, here, I have it here, I have the book open. And this is the last line in the book, and it's the last line in that letter. I said, "Nathan, we're here to help each other, period. There's no other point to all this, trust me. So for the rest of your life, take your skills and your talents, continue to improve upon them, and then turn them outward and put good work into this world." So that's what I wanted him to take with him. I wanted him to realize that, hey, our purpose is to help each other. Our purpose here is to lift each other up, period. I think, because I think a lot of people, and I see this as an adult now in the business world and elsewhere, a lot of people burn a lot of calories trying to figure out what their purpose is. And so I thought, okay, if I could take that off the table and say, hey, let me, I've already got this figured out. I've been here, you know, a few more decades than you. Your purpose is to help others. Now, the part, if you want to burn some calories, the part you can do is figure out what that looks like in your life. Do you want to be career military? Do you want to own a business? Do you want to write books? Do you want to, whatever you want to do, go do that, but make sure the end game is lifting others up. So that's the one thing for him and all my kids that I wanted to pass on.
Get Up Army, do you hear now why I put this guy on the airwaves here on 1520 WCAK?
Don't do that.
Chase Reed, this has been inspirational. I love your life motto here and just how you're living it out loud. It's important. It's respected. And I just love everything that we got going on here. What? Let me ask you this, because we got to jump off and let you go, unfortunately. But I want to hear, how can people pick this book up and where can they get their hands on it?
You can pick it up on Amazon and other online booksellers. The title is Letters Home, Notes on Returning Paris Island, Jason Reed. I'm on Facebook, and there's a Facebook page for the book as well. So you can connect with me, or you can like the Letters Home, Notes on Returning to Paris Island Facebook page and connect with me there. Either way is fine.
And you also, you do, you're a local realtor, and you
yep.
also have a band. What's the name of your band?
I have a couple bands. I have a local band called the Reed Brothers Band, and then I have a band that I tour with called Super Unknown.
There we go.
Yeah,
there
I got
go.
A lot of yeah. irons in the fire.
Irons in the fire, baby. That's what we're doing here. All right, guys. Yo, mark it down. Go out now. Get online with your fat little fingers. Type into your iPhone on Amazon.com. Pick up Letters Home, Notes on Returning to Paris Island. Brand new author, Jason Reed. Jason, thank you so much.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Get Up Army, go nowhere. We're returning in 90 seconds with the second author that we want to put on blast. And this one, this guy wrote a book called Escaping Shadows. And wait till you hear his story. We'll be back in 90 seconds right here on 1520 WCHE. Yeah, here we are, baby. 1520 WCHE. I love it. 1520 WCHE. It's the Get Up Power Hour. It's your boy, Mark Hayford, coming at you like a freaking flyover. It's the Super Bowl, baby. We light up the darkness every Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on 1520 WCHE. Yo, it is a double author Lollapalooza going on here. You just heard Jason Reed, who put out his book, Letters Home. And now I want to bring in the second author. I've known this next gentleman for years. And when I heard he was writing a book, I was definitely intrigued. Then when I heard what he was writing about, I was absolutely just fascinated. And then when I talked to him about it, I said, we have to get you on my show because this is heavy. And his story is not an easy one, and he's brave enough to come on and talk about it because he believes it's going to help someone out here. The book is called Escaping Shadows, and this book revolves around an abusive father slash husband and the life that this little boy, now a father himself, grew up in. So I want to bring on our second guest of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, put your virtual hands together for master photographer, brand new author, Mr. Brett Martelli.
What's up, Mark? Thanks for having
Brett
me.
Martelli, you stud. Dude, what's going on, man?
I don't even know how to follow up with all that energy.
You just be you, baby. You know what? Thank you for taking the time to come on here.
You're welcome. Yeah, I'm like wiping off all the sweat off my forehead from all your energy.
Well, I'll tell you what. Look, don't worry about that. I don't even know where to start with this one because the conversation we had about your book, it's heavy, dude, and it's not easy. And I want to go into this First of all, is this book therapeutic? Why'd you write it? Like, give us the background.
Yeah.
What the heck's going on?
Definitely. When I started this idea, it was actually triggered, when I was going through a, divorce, actually, and I kind of felt like I needed to get some things, off of my chest, and it really helped cope and deal with a lot of buried, feelings and emotions, and my parents, they did, try and attempt to make me do counseling as a kid, but, when you're growing up, you're too cool for that stuff, you don't want to face that type of reality. I just wanted to be a normal kid, play baseball, play manhunt, and goof off, build forts. I didn't want to deal with a lot of these problems and emotions that I was burying, deep in my mind and my chest. And so when I got a chance to come up with this idea, I reached out to my best friend, Phil, who, we wrote this book together. And it really helped us get out a lot of emotions. I was crying sometimes when I was talking to him. There was a lot of, a lot of emotions just really pushed deep down. And I never really wanted to even visit that area. But when we were done, it felt like the weight of the world was lifted of not really feeling like these problems I had and these emotions I had, they no longer really hurt. They're there. It's like anything, like a scar. You can always physically see it, but that's all it was anymore.
You said something here that if I could, this was one of the first questions I want to ask you. On the cover, the book is called Escaping Shadows, and it says by Brett Martelli with Philip Carroll. So you already addressed Philip Carroll's one of your best friends from growing up, and what is your role and his role in writing the book? How did you do? Because I wrote a book, but I don't know how I would do it with two people. How'd that work?
Okay. Yeah, we'll just go for a really cheesy sports cliche. Doug Peterson wins the Super Bowl with the Eagles, and somehow he has a book out within a couple months, which, he's a coach. He's not an author. He's not a writer. So he, basically he's a ghostwriter. And I kind of did the same idea. I'm not really a professional, writer of any kind, but I'm a great storyteller. I'm a great visual storyteller. So my best friend, Phil, he's an English teacher and he's a writer and an author. So what I did was I was like, Phil, I have an idea. And I pitched him all the stories that he had no idea growing up with me that this was going on. And we sat down. I think we went to a Borders in Center City, Philadelphia. We met there. We sat there for about two and a half hours, coffee. And I gave him some visual. I had some photographs of stuff, with growing up. I told him as many stories that I could, and all he did was look at me and go, dude, I'm so sorry. Like, I had no idea, that this was going on, growing up with you, and I didn't know you had all this hidden, from him. So I said, here's an idea. I'm going to give you every story, and I'm going to visually tell you how I want it to go. And I need you to write it down, put it into a book for me. So with my mind, his mind, and his, knowledge of grammar, I was like, I want you to have free rein when it comes down to, putting these stories together. And I was like, pretend this is Stephen King sitting in a dark closet, and just go to town, because you'll never really be able to recreate the visions of a kid going through this, but with that type of mindset, that'll come close.
You guys did an amazing job of recreating and depicting and making the reader feel like going through it. And for those of you who are just jumping on listening here on the Get Up Power Hour, we got brand new author Brett Martelli, who has written the book Escaping Shadows. And basically, if you could fill us in, you grew up in an abusive household, and the root of the abuse came from your father. You refer to him in the book as the monster. Can you talk about the monster?
Yes. One of the greatest examples, when I was talking to Phil about this, was my dad was like walking around with a live grenade in your pocket. Never knew when this thing was going to go off. You know, I did speak to a counselor. He tried to get a little therapy, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And he basically told me I was the glue, you know, to the family, you know, just basically doing everything in my power to hold things together. And with my dad, he could just blow up at any second where he could be around my friends. There was times where he would just go off in front of my friends. In public, he would actually hit Walmart greeters. He was banned from a giant grocery store. He was banned from 2 Walmarts. He punched.
Banned from Walmart?
Yes. I mean, giving you.
How do you get banned from Walmart? Was it because he was physical or violent or loud or what? What happened?
Yeah. The one, because he was violent with his mouth, and the other time he actually abused an actual Walmart greeter. So now there's that, but this is just when he was at a point where there was no human left in him. He was just the monster at this point. You know, when we're little, he would have episodes, but they were months apart. Then it became a month apart. Then it became a few weeks apart. Then a couple days apart. Next thing you know, it was like every other hour. What's he going to do next, say next? He'd throw plates of spaghetti against the wall. He'd hit my mom. What was really hard as a kid when you're 10, 12 years old and you're still not really sure what certain words mean and you know they're bad, and then you know, you just don't know what to do with this stuff. You don't know. And that was my normal. That was my everyday with him. You know, he would drive.
Oh my goodness. I mean, you can ban the monster from public places, but then you had to go home and live with the monster.
And yes, this is, and nobody knew about it. And friends and family that were close had an idea, but they, you got to keep in mind the time frame, which was mid-80s to late 80s. This stuff was still not a topic. This was a big problem. There was a lot of people in church families, relatives. They looked at him and go, well, he looks physically fine. What's the matter? He looks physically fine. You guys are crazy. You know, and people thought we were just neurotic, you know, and I'm sitting there like, I guess we're not allowed to talk about it because he was a born again Christian, but you know what they would say to him? I just submit it to the Lord, pray. And yeah, to a normal person, that does work, would work. But to my dad, that actually blew him up further. So when Christians would actually just throw that back in his face, he was trying to reach for help, and pastors and deacons and family members would just laugh at him, and it blew him up further. So basically they didn't realize that when they would do that, he'd then take it out on us. He'd actually beat my mom. He'd hit my mom. He'd throw her favorite vases and belongings that would break, throw them against the wall, because his hurt, he wanted someone else to feel his hurt and his pain. He couldn't deal with it. So he wanted us to feel it. So everything that, you know, that's why, you know, right now is a hot button. You know, depression, mental abuse, mental illness. It's a hot topic because it finally is coming to light. You know, and now people are understanding it.
Yeah, man, praise God. It's great. I've had so many people that have been on this program alone who are now, you know, are looking at this in this day and age, not so much as mental illness, but in promoting mental wellness and helping people get right with that and talking about stress and talking about depression and talking about all these topics that, like you're saying, were very poo-pooed 20, 25 years ago and weren't mainstream and they were kind of taboo to talk about. And yes. It's great that nowadays we're in a day and age where everybody's looking, talking about the day and age we're in and everything that's wrong with it. There's a lot of things that are right in the times that we're living in. And this is one of them, that people are starting to get help and we have a better understanding. Brett, if I can put you on ice for 1 second, we got to pay some couple bills here at WCHE. Yo, fam, don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back with new author Brett Martelli. And I got some deep questions to get with him. And we are in the fourth quarter of the show. Give us 60 seconds. We'll be right back here on 1520 WCHE. Yo, we're back, 1520 WCHE, to get a power hour. I'm Mark Hayford. We have new author Brett Martelli talking about the deep book that he has called Escaping Shadows, where he lived in an abusive household growing up. A lot of people didn't realize it, and his father was the monster, as he talks about in the book. Brett, again, I want to thank you for just being so open and honest with this topic here. So what is the experience of living with your dad and living in your household as a kid? Like, what did that feel like on the day-to-day? What emotionally? How was that taxing? What was it like?
A lot of times, you know, I'd go to a school with just heavy chest. I come home, sleep, and all the get home, and I would run away, go find kids in the neighborhood. Blessed, very lucky to be, you know, not professionally athletic, but athletic to where, you know, I can get it, you know, an escape with running. I'd actually put on, you know, a tape cassette or a CD Discman, if you can go back that far. And I would run, sprint, knock all around the neighborhood, bike rides, you know, it's just anything I could come up with and do to not be in the house as often as possible. You know, there was times, you know, my teachers in school, they knew something was bugging me, but I just wouldn't talk about it. I'd make up some bogus story to deflect it. But, you know, there was always that problem that was lurking in my mind, and I just couldn't shut it off. And teachers would be talking to me, and all I could do is think about was certain things or certain problems. You know, it's just, I basically lived day to day hearing my dad mention about, I'm just going to commit suicide. I'm just going to commit suicide every day. That was a normal topic. So you have these thoughts in your mind and, you know, just, well, this is normal, you know, on top of everything else was just hearing him talk about, I'm going to commit suicide. What you watch me do it, I'm going to do it.
So, and it turns out
your mind was always in the dark.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because he didn't commit suicide. And as a grown man, it seems like in some way, I don't know if repair is the right word, but he passed away a while back and you were present in his life at this time. Can you talk about that?
Yes. He attempted suicide multiple times, but it was definitely just more of a cry for help. But on the day he died, is that what you're referring to?
Just that time frame on, how you're back or you're in his life after all this.
Yeah, I got that from my mom. My mom would give you the shirt off her back type of mother. You know, she was very, very much giving, and she stayed with my dad to the final days. Even after all he did to her, she never left his side. Always supported him no matter what. I got that part in me from my mom of, yeah, you know, he did not, you know, get the help he needed. And he definitely, you know, made life extremely difficult. But I still had that part of me that still loved him no matter what, because I knew that there was a part of him that was still human somewhere. And I could still get past that monster, you know, that he was. And I remember the day he does, you know, died very vividly, photographing a wedding. I'm on the dance floor. I feel my phone vibrating. And I recognize, you know, it's a number, you know, from his hospital. And he was at a nursing home, for the veterans. And I picked up, and they were like, your dad just passed. And, you know, I was very upset about it, obviously. Very upset also that, you know, I wasn't informed that, you know, he was beginning to pass. They were supposed to call. So
you're a professional wedding photographer. You've been for a very long time.
Yeah.
And you have a big following, an online presence, by the way. And you're told during the wedding that your father passed away while you're working.
Did you
finish the job?
There was about 35, 45 minutes left of my job to photograph, you know, the dance floor. And thank God they dimmed the lights, because I'm sitting there in a bucket of tears, bawling like a baby. And I knew that I'll never get to... Sorry.
It's okay, man. It's all right.
I knew that I couldn't really get things off my chest.
It's all right, man. We're all friends here. Everybody's got your back.
Yeah. So, you know, I knew that it was all hitting. Like, all the hate and anger I had towards him, but all the love I had towards him. And that's probably my biggest regret, was never being able to just tell him how I felt.
Guys, we got brand new author Brett Martelli on the Get Up Power Hour with us, and he's the author of Escaping Shadows. And this book, I'll tell you, it's a quick book. It's you know, around 100 or so pages. It's easy to read, and it tells the tale of this boy who grows up with his mom in this abusive household. And today we have grown man Brett Martelli, who's the author, who's a father of his own, who became bigger than the problem and ultimately learned to forgive and learned to love. Let me ask you this, Brett. You're a dad today. How has this changed, or not changed, but how has it shaped the way that you approach fatherhood?
I give my daughter 1,000% every day. Every day. You know, and yes, people may look at it like, oh, you're just spoiling her. But you know what? I'm spoiling her with love, you know, and I'm giving her everything. And it was, my dad tried, you know, he had days where he tried, and I never got it. The true love from him at all. My mom gave me as much as she could, but she could only do so much trying to, you know, keep giving him everything, you know, to help hold him down. So every day I see my daughter, it's the best day of my life. I hugs and, you know, and I do anything and everything I can, you know, and I make we make cakes, we make lemonade, sweet tea together. I mean, Rice Krispie treats. We just did all that within the last few days. I mean,
no, I've seen you with your daughter, man. Yeah. You're an amazing father. Wow, you know, this show goes so fast. We're going to have to wrap this and unfortunately go in a second.
Yeah.
Before we do, though, I just want to know, first of all, this whole journey, this whole, you know, labor of love, the therapy of you putting it out there, what do you wish for yourself going forward? And what do you hope that this book and your message can do?
Yeah. My biggest wish, you know, going forward with myself and my, and this book would definitely be to just reach out as many kids as possible. I have such a soft spot when it comes to the kids. You know, I hate to see them getting abused mentally, physically, you know, harmed in any way. And I would love to travel, inject my positivity of mental health and just give them a place to feel safe, knowing you're not alone, you know, knowing you don't have to feel like you can't talk to somebody, you know, and sometimes it's not easy, you know, trying to talk to other kids because they don't know yet. They're not mature yet. But I would love to definitely, you know, get this book, you know, to a much bigger scale, you know, to where it could help reach as many kids as possible and travel the world with it.
Oof. Wow. I mean, labor of love, man. Well, let me ask you something, Brett. How do people go about getting your book, Escaping Shadows? Where can they go grab it?
Yeah, if you go to Amazon.com, obviously, you just type in Escaping Shadows. There is the paperback version. There is a Kindle edition. My friend Phil, you know, he actually just mentioned, apparently there's a audio version, I guess, for your Kindle. But, you know, I recommend, obviously, get that paperback version. It's always nice to have that physical book in your hand. But, yeah, it's got a nice 5-star rating on there so far. I've had people send me pictures of them reading it, crying, saying, why didn't you tell me this was so heavy? So,
well, I saw the reviews on Amazon, and every single person that read it said, emotionally charged, couldn't put it down. That's what I've... That's
perfect.
The overview
Love
of your
it.
Book. So, all right, Brett Martelli, dude, thank you so much for being, just sharing
the
authenticity and just revealing your soul to everybody here, the Get Up Army. And thank you for the time, man. Really appreciate you coming
thank
on.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right.
You got it. And for everybody out there listening in the Get Up Army, I hope that what you got through this message is that your current situation is not your final destination. Everybody's got to deal with what they have to deal with, but if you can put faith over fear, you can come out big on the other side. And maybe those scars, the ones that you have that a sense of healed, are going to be the ones to light up the darkness for others. So I am so thankful for my two guests, Jason Reed and Brett Martelli, jumping on here and just sharing their work with us. Guys, I want you to keep your head up. I want you to keep failing forward, and I want you to believe that things are going to get better. Let's be on purpose with getting better, and let's lift each other up. We are out of here until next week when we have another Get Up Power Hour, and I am always in your corner. This is Mark Hayford.